Yes, we're celebrating Ireland, really marking St Patrick's Day, which was yesterday, and there's lots of events happening all over the city. Our Irish community residing here in the UAE, and each week on Voices of Diversity, we like to get involved and find out a little more of the cultures living here, the people we live side by side with. What do we really know about our Irish neighbours, our colleague at work, the person we meet in the restaurant or at a dinner party? Cross-cultural psychologist Samineh Shaheem is always by my side.
Culture affects so much of what we do, how we perceive, you know, our values, our behaviours and so on. So that's what we're trying to do, to understand more about our friends, like our Irish friends here today joining us. We have Michael Nugent, who's the general manager of Mövenpick Deira and part of the Irish Business Network. And we have Zohra Qureshi, who is an Irish Muslim living in the UAE. Now, talking about cross-cultural, is it true that St. Patrick was not fully Irish? Do you know this?
Well, before we answer that, let's introduce the rest of our guests sitting here as well. I know you're raring to go. And we have Nasser Lawless, who is an archivist and has been residing in the UAE since the late 70s, coming and going, but being here most of that time. And really interesting in looking at genealogy and tracing your family roots, and particularly with the Irish because of the diaspora and the Irish travels over the centuries. So finding out where your family members are. Also joining us is James Mullen, who's co-founder of Mid East Post and also partner of Insight, which is a media training business here, been living here since the mid-90s. And we have Lorraine Martinson, who's CEO of Aran Group, which are bringing wonderful, fine, gourmet Irish cuisine to the UAE, distributed through Milk and Honey. So it's a pleasure to have you with us. And yes, yeah, so the question.
Yes, what is the cross-cultural background of St. Patrick? Is it purely Irish? Do you know that he had Italian roots? Yeah, that he wasn't.
Well, he's supposed to have been born in Wales, yeah, and he was sent over to Ireland as a slave. He was captured.
That's
this
right.
This is the myth.
That's right. And apparently he had Roman parents. Yeah, parents who were Roman, and that was his influences. But of course, can
so
you
what
see
you're trying to say, Sally, yeah, is he wasn't Irish.
Listen, after this silence in the studio, you know, I just realized I raised a really difficult question. Let's not open that can of worms.
Didn't he, wasn't he there to get rid of the snakes?
Yeah, that was one of his jobs. Yeah, got rid of the snakes, got rid of the wolves.
Oh, but James, was that symbolic more than so people who weren't practicing a particular religion?
Not symbolic at all, according to legend. No, he actually did the job. Snakes were a big problem in Ireland at the time. Wolves were an even bigger problem, and St. Patrick did the business. He got rid of them for us.
Okay, because there were a few sources saying that there are no snakes in Ireland, and you know, it might have been just metaphoric and symbolic of the people who were not practicing, and therefore he wanted to make sure he got rid of those individuals and kept the ones that were more devout in their ideology.
Are you accusing us Irish people of making stories up?
And it is coming from a psychologist.
Yeah. 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 Michael, you said you guys had a good sense of humor here. Yeah. What's going on?
No, you're absolutely correct. But I think there is a, you know, there is a degree of truth in it, and it's, I think, all just part of the legend that is Ireland, and it really adds to the fact that Ireland is an extremely interesting place historically.
And to think about how those stories have been passed down, and in the passing down of those stories through different generations, there will be some stories that, of course, change and evolve and take different form, but very interesting. We were also talking about Irish Americans and how proud they are. I find that Americans who live abroad, they may say, I'm American, but when you're in the United States, they're very clear about their background, so emphasizing whether they're German-American or Irish-American. A huge Irish-American community in the United States. How do you? What did you find when you reconnected with them or that you got in touch with them? Were they hospitable? Were they happy to reconnect? What were they interested in, to ask about your lives?
Well, I've been carrying out research from the other side of the world, from Ireland to America. Usually the Americans trace their genealogical roots back to Ireland. So as part of my research, I was able to contact relations like James, whom I had never met, and mainly in the Boston area. And they were so welcoming when we went over to America and met them and threw parties for us. And we're still in touch. And they're very proud of their Irish roots, because I believe there are 40 million people of Irish heritage in the US. And this weekend they're dyeing Chicago River green and
yes,
having parades and the whole lot. And our Irish Prime Minister, Enda Kenny, is visiting the White House. The big event is on Tuesday. So, yes, there's a huge connection still
between
America.
And the accent, you know, one of the most prominent accents of the Irish Americans that you can hear in Boston is very charming, and they have maintained that as a part of their cultural identity. But it may not sound so strong to you.
But, you know, what's interesting with that, talking about the Irish American and of course, you know, being nostalgic, and I'm sure there's many that claim to be Irish and possibly aren't, I don't know. But then it makes you think of here in the UAE, where people, they're immigrants, people that are living here outside of their home country. So for you as the Irish living here, has it made you more nostalgic for your home country, or have you just managed to embrace, because, you know, we're in this age where you can pretty much get everything, I think. So do you feel distant from your culture, or have you been able to pretty much carry on as you would if you were at home?
I think we carry on just as much as we are at home, and I think we're very open-minded, and we're proud to be Irish, and like to talk a lot about our nationality. But I don't think that, well, personally, I'm not very homesick. I do like to go home, do like to see my friends and family, but they all love to come out to Dubai and experience Dubai and meet the new friends, new people, different cultures. And what happened when I moved in 91, when I was young, there was nobody able to afford, everyone was students, and nobody could come out to visit me in Dubai. So I was more or less on my own here for 3 years. I left in 95. And when I moved back in 2008 with my husband and my children, everyone then had, you know, finished studying, had their own families, and coming out by four. So we've just like, it's almost like Hotel Martinson for a while. It's just everyone coming to visit. So, no, I really enjoy it.
And your husband's Swedish?
He's Swedish, yes.
So it's an interesting, you've got children, so that's an interesting dynamic. Mm. And you speak Swedish?
I do, I speak fluent Swedish. And I lived there for 10 years and worked in Sweden as well. So,
and they speak very good English in Sweden. So was it hard for you to learn Swedish?
They speak, because in Nothing is dubbed on TV.
Yes.
So they were brought up speaking good English. What I found very difficult is I wanted to practice, and everyone would want to practice their English back to me. But then having small children, the very small children could not speak English. So of course I did have to learn having children, but I loved it. I wanted to learn when I moved to the country.
So in your house, is it more airing more on the Irish or on the Swedish culturally within the household?
Both. We embrace both cultures, and the children are they always say half Irish, half, yeah, they're bilingual, and they love their holidays in Ireland. They love their nanny and their granddad, and they love their granny and granddad in Sweden as well.
So that's something that really needs to be nurtured at home, Suzanne. You know, people who come from these bicultural backgrounds, if the parent is, let's say, Swedish and the other one is Irish, to speak English, if one speaks English and the other one speaks Swedish consistently, the child as early as 2 years old knows which language to speak to whom, and they activate the same part of the brain responsible for language acquisition. So it's not like an older person learning a second language. They learn the two languages side by side. So very important. And culture is so much a part of language. Mm-hmm. So you learn so much about that culture when you speak the language of that location.
So true. And then coming here with Arabic for our children in school, I think it's absolutely fantastic that it's compulsory. And my youngest daughter, that's actually her favorite subject. So, and her favorite teacher is our Arabic teacher, and she's 14. So I think they've really embraced this Arabic culture as well. So
yeah, I mean, with my children as well, my eldest daughter has been into Irish dancing since she was five. She's danced with Siobhan Killalay, who runs a fantastic dance school here in Dubai, and we've never had to force her to do that. You know, that was something we introduced her to, and she's absolutely taken it on board, and she's been dancing over the weekend. We'll be dancing next weekend as well, and it gives her a great way to express her, you know, the Irishness
side
in her.
Of her, yeah.
And also it relating back to the family back in Ireland, back to her, you know, her granny. You know, she can show her videos, she can show her photographs of her, doing this. So that connection is very strongly there.
Mm-hmm. Many of the expats that we've talked to here say that when they're back home, culture is just the way things are. It's the way we do things around here. But when they are living in a location different than their country of origin, then with the help of these business networks, for example, or organizations, or the Irish Bowl, the food events, their cultural values are much more highlighted and practiced and reinforced than even if they were back home. So dances, music, and so on is a little bit more viscous rather than what they would be practicing back home even.
Do you agree with that? Have you found that?
Well, I think one important thing when someone has young children out here and they're travelling, they talk about these nomadic children that move around the world with their parents, and that's becoming an increasing phenomenon nowadays. But I think it's important to give your children a sense of belonging. Now, if that's Irish, Scottish, Welsh, or Lebanese, whatever nationality it is, I think it's important to instill in your children a sense of belonging somewhere. Now, it's up to them when they're 18, 19, 20 and move on to take that forward. If they wish to do so, but I think as a parent it's important really to show them where their roots are and then let them make their own choices when they get older.
Well, when we come back, one very important factor, you've mentioned it a couple of times, is food. And Lorraine's here, of course, from Iran, and I've got in front of me the Bewley's Irish breakfast tea. And I have tasted this before, and I tell you what, it's a good one. If you like your tea and you like it strong, then you like a good Irish tea for sure, Irish brew. So we'll be talking food and more in just a moment.